Is that a federal government agency?
No, it's a, I believe it's an agency of sign folks. And they've got some model sign codes that they've put together, and there's some language in there that's really good, and we use some of it.
Okay, well, they just, I would just make sure, say it's fully shielded, that it focuses the light on the sign.
Yeah, we could make that amendment and tweak it.
It should, okay.
The next one deals with the actual lighting and luminance versus illuminance. And you may recall, we had a fairly long discussion, I believe Mr. Dean may have presented the public hearing on this. Luminance is the output, illuminance is what it kind of looks like in ambient lighting conditions. Luminance is measured in nits, illuminance is measured in foot candles. In the introduced ordinance, we had measured it on a nits perspective, which was 250 nits in nighttime hours. What we found through this, and if you look in the alternate ordinance, it said 750 nits worth 0.3 foot candles above ambient light. There's some question, and it seems to me, that as to which is better to use. One of the things that I do recall hearing at the public hearing was if you put both in there, you could cover both ways.
We can take our pick. We don't have to use both.
Correct.
So we want to word it so that the county will utilize one of these methods.
Correct. And I think what I would, you know.
We could use either or.
Correct.
I think one thing I heard Mr. Dean saying was it's much harder to measure nits than a light meter with luminance.
Correct. But I think from a programming standpoint, it's easier to program the nits than it is to know what the illuminance would be. So there's some levels of that.
We'll figure it out when we have to do it.
And the numbers that was proposed seem to be appropriate at the alternate ordinance, 750.
So check mark.
Correct.
Okay, man, there we go. We're on a roll.
The next one deals with, this was a requirement in the introduced ordinance of a special use exception for all on-premise signs. That was removed in the alternate ordinance and also removed in the planning and zoning version. The question is, should there be a special use exception for on-premise electronic message centers? These are not billboards. So the one thing that I will note is I would anticipate this would greatly increase the number of applications for the Board of Adjustment.
Well, they'll be meeting daily.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Should we limit, is there any limit on the number of electronic on-premise signage a place can use? Like, could they have it on an awning? Could they have it on the outside signs? Could they have it in the windows? I mean, is there any limit to the number of on-premise EMCs?
I think the way it was listed was one per parcel.
But so I'm just saying, if that's the case, that's fine. I'm just saying, because the next thing you know, you'd have somebody's, you know, if they want more, they could then go for a special use exception.
Hey, you put a small sign.
Well, I'm just saying, open.
That you're open.
No, that's a little bit. No, that's pretty, it's like a flag says you're open.
Does that tell you how many signs you have?
Workers' comp.
No, I'm talking about other.
That's a sign.
I know that, I know, but I would.
A sign is a direction.
It says, the way it is it reads one electronic message center per parcel. Mm-hmm. The alternate amendment is accepted by P&Z said, per street or road frontage, which was one of those questions that had been raised earlier that you guys are going to come back to.
Okay.
So, in theory, if you were on a property that had more than one road frontage, perhaps you could have two.
But it's limited to one in somewhere in that document.
So, now, to simplify, okay, we should just remove that as a special use exception.
Correct.
What's
that? To simplify. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay. George, you good with that?
Should a special use be required for an on-premise, for just one? No. One per parcel or for
whatever we choose.
Well, we got to get to that part.
Okay,
we're just for a special use exception.
No, I know. I think on it's more important for the on-premise signs to have this modern technology than a billboard.
Sure. And streamline their process. We don't want to bog them down.
The next one we have is EMCs are prohibited in electronic and residential districts. There was no change in that in the alternate ordinance. So you couldn't have an AR property where somebody's putting electronic message center. One of the things that did come up at the planning and zoning level was, well, what about somebody who's got a conditional use? Somebody who's gotten approval for a business in a residential district, should they be allowed to have an electronic message center? Maybe not necessarily a billboard, but perhaps as part of their business. And that's a question that was posed what they said was they would prohibit them in a residential district unless it was expressly considered as part of the conditional use.
So it would need to be part of the condition as part of the conditional use process.
If it's not referenced, like we just did a conditional use earlier today, and part of it said something about permitted one unlit sign, that doesn't mean that guy can come in and do it.
No, it would have to be specifically permitted as part of that.
Has to be specifically requested and permitted, okay, because a CU in an in a residential zone, it's actually residential property.
Yes.
So we need to make sure that the underlying zoning is protected.
Yep.
Because the neighbors are all residential property.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
And the thought on that was, well, you know, there may be situations where, you know, the that small localities developed with small business conditional uses over time, and it's appropriate for a business, it may be appropriate for some sort of electronic message display. You know, so it should be, there should be some legal.
But it would be the case-by-case application when it was made part of it.
Now, the one part of that you might want to consider is in the event you have somebody who has already a conditional use and perhaps a regular sign and wants to convert to electronic message center. How would that be approached?
How would that be addressed?
That would be a consideration. Obviously, new ones going forward, you could put that in there and it'd be clear, but.
So that's something that you'd have to advertise, have hearings, have the neighbors notify, that type of thing. So I think they would raise Cain, but they have to know about it. We have a problem there.
Mr. Sharp, I'm sorry. What was the question you were posing right then?
If there's one that already had a conditional use, say there's a conditional use approved 10 years ago, had a sign, wanted to replace that sign with an electronic message.
It's come in, change the conditions.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but that doesn't go to the county council.
Sure does.
Oh.
It does.
I've seen that go to planning and zoning only.
Actually, if we're not careful.
Well, Lawrence, would that be considered a?
Excuse me, George. If we're not careful, we'll come and get a permits if I can put my Christmas lights up. Because next thing I'll be putting
something important to say.
Sometimes I put a sign up that says, Jesus is reason for the season. I mean, got to be careful on the signs.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Sam, for that. Lawrence,
could
somebody come into you who had a permission and a conditional use for a sign on their in front of their little hairdressing thing? Could you over the table, aren't you permitted a little leeway on minor things? Would you consider that a major change?
Commission has the authority to decide if it can change it or not. If the condition came from the commission. If the council created a condition, the commission can't alter it.
Well, every conditional use
goes from you. George can change it.
Now, you interrupted him, Sam. Hold on now.
I said, if George can change it, he will change it. I can bet on that.
Lynn, can you do something about this guy?
You said enough, George.
I'll try again. If the commission created a condition that it was limited to 32 square feet sign, and the council adopted it, the commission can, by ordinance, alter it at a minimum. If the council created that condition on its own, the commission cannot alter it.
That's come back to council.
That's come back to council, which you require.
I'm just wondering, I mean, the commission can't legislate anything really, but it can. It creates it to give us it's just a recommendation to us. We're the ones that approve it.
Your ordinance says the commission can make minor changes in conditions.
Right.
I've seen it.
Okay, so they can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's whoever who originated the condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's.
That's what he said.
It's the way we do it. I don't know.
Recommendation that the condition be 32 square foot sign. Sometimes they say light it. Sometimes they say unlight it. It varies.
So in this example, who would provide the authority for them to get an EMC on a condition?
If there was a condition that came from the commission originally, with a size, they could ask to alter it. Typically, they won't alter the size. It's still going to be 32 square foot. It's just whether it's going to be.
My only challenge to all that is whether it's really written down or is that just kind of a pattern we've done over the years, or is it some? It's not in any
that
code, I don't believe.
It's based on the code.
Yeah, well,
is it based on code? Okay.
That the commission can.
I know they can alter things.
At a minimum.
Okay. Good enough.
So 34, we're what?
We're okay.
I hear I'm okay with the planning zoning recommended.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing. The next one, and this is a big question, should off-premise electronic message centers be allowed? They are prohibited in the introduced ordinance. But they were allowed in both the alternate ordinance and the recommended version from planning zoning.
On four-lane roads, the state of Delaware allows them.
Careful what we're doing.
Every 2,500 square feet, or 200 linear feet. So I don't know why we would not allow EMCs to be permitted on a four-lane road.
Why can't we go two-lane road?
Well, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Excuse me.
I'm just wondering, is there any, wait, I'm just, is, does that make sense?
He just getting started.
To make it simple?
Yeah, I mean, that's your all's call.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm asking the rest of them, is.
Well, Deldot allows, right?
It's what Deldot allows on four-lane roads and Route 9, I guess we, now, do we say four-lane roads, or do we say Deldot?
Well, there's a.
They may change that down the road.
There's a differential between four-lane roads and the controlled road of Route 9 being in that defined terminology. Route 9 is obviously not a four-lane highway, so.
Well, maybe everything in the code, what we've been talking about, four-lane. About everything, I guess.
Code doesn't go that way.
We've been talking about two lanes and greater than two lanes.
And the reason we did that, rather than focus on the four lanes, was it can sometimes be difficult to follow when Deldot considers something to be one of their big four. There's portions of roads that may be part of it. Route 9, for example, is a great example, because you can take Route 9 all the way to Five Points, and then it's no longer, and then it merges with Route 1 for a little bit, and then it becomes part of, goes down by Kings Highway. So it made sense from an enforcement standpoint, and really from an ease of being able to read the code, from somebody who's trying to figure out, can I put a sign here? Is it a two-lane road right next to it, or is it a four-lane? So that was kind of the reason behind that.
I'd like to keep it at two-lane, four-lane type thing, right? So I would just say that on four-lane roads, EMCs are permitted with the 2,500, lineal foot separation, which is what Deldot requires on all those four-lane roads anyway. Okay, so that, then, so that leaves two-lane roads.
What should they be permitted at all?
Who?
Why should we have them at all?
Well, because Deldot permits them, they're already out there, and we're not worried.
We have to.
Now, two-lane roads.
We could be more restrictive.
There should be separation there also. If it's important on a four-lane road, and they're going 60 miles an hour to, you know, 70, on a two-lane road where there's still, you know, traffic, lots of traffic on some of these roads, either, I mean, I could go, I hate to say it, I could be so extreme to say no EMCs should be permitted on two-lane roads in Sussex County.
Yeah.
And limit them just to that, they do that in Newcastle County? They do that in many of these other counties we looked at?
So the question would be why?
Because George Cole thought it was a good idea.
Well, there's something.
Because George Cole.
I did that for their benefit.
George Cole, that's right.
I did that for his benefit.
It's the Cole Code. Cole Code.
I was afraid they'd jump out of the seat.
I can see some kind of a separation.
Additional separation.
I can.
I don't think we should just say no EMCs on two-lane roads.
I agree.
A lot of communities on that road, people actually live there.
Well, I know that, but you ride through almost every town in this county, and they got EMCs on two-lane roads in their town.
Without any separation.
I don't think it's a good thing. I'm not saying that's good.
Whenever, without any separation now, when you ride in 26 into Millville, right at that 17, we have just a cluster of these all in it, and I get more negative comments of that little pocket. That's an example of what could happen elsewhere in this county.
Okay.
I mean, I've even had, wait, you'll love it, I've even had an attorney tell me he didn't like it. And those guys usually like everything. They didn't even.
Well, but I think.
An attorney.
But in fairness, and I don't.
Looking around.
I don't have genius.
Yeah, which.
He barred his left, didn't he?
So anyway, to avoid that, a big separation, we got 2,500 feet on a four-lane road where they're zooming along, 2,500 feet on a two-lane road.
Well, I think, again, I think I'm not sure if I'm that far, truth be told. I would, if we were to agree to a 600, in theory, we have not gotten there yet, of separations, billboards to board, you know, static. I think whatever we do there, I would think we should double it on the digital side.
Just double
as a suggestion, whatever that number might be. And I think to your point, that corridor, you know, there were some variances given there. There were, you know, some other exceptions to those rules, I think.
So you want to make the whole county ugly?
No. Mm-hmm. Lady Bird.
Question for you.
Well, I do being moved here.
Is when you talk about what you're separating, increasing the separation distances, are you only talking an EMC to an EMC, or are you talking an EMC to another billboard, or an EMC to a dwelling?
EMC to an EMC.
Okay. All right. But
that was to double my correct.
Yes. Yes.
I'll just say this, Rob. I think I spend most of my time on two-lane roads. And when I think, you know, riding around, and I can easily read a static sign and stuff, and on a two-lane road, I think the impact of the electronic signs is more so. More, to me, again, this is personal opinion, but it has a more of a negative impact on me. Sometimes they angle them just right to, you know, hit you right at the road. You can't avoid them and stuff. And but it just seems they're so much more obnoxious, annoying, distracting. And unsightly.
We have
in my
mixed
opinion. Yeah. You know, on a two-lane road, then on a four-lane road, where you've got lots of traffic going, transient traffic going through this state. And when they're separating them that far, on those kind of roads, I think that on a two-lane road, it's even more of an impact.
On our two-lane roads, we have mixed use. You know,
what I envision my county to look like is not like that little cluster of one in the Millville.
Sure, I agree.
I'd love to avoid that.
I agree.
Well, wouldn't you think that the distance on the four-lane roads at 2,500 feet is because you are traveling so much faster, so you've got to have time to see the sign? I mean, it's different riding 65.
Well, you only got 10 seconds.
25.
They got 10 seconds is all you got.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you're riding 65 through it, where you got a 1,000-foot separation, you ain't got much time to see something. You're going pretty quick.
Have you seen the new sign that the airport has put up out here, George?
Says land here, it coast on that. It's
but you know,
it's the MCS sign. You need to look at that sign. Should we take that down and follow the regulations? What Cass is recommending? Is that what you want us to do?
Yep.
Sam,
we are really no better off than we're no better than the average person that does things like this.
We still have people crossing Coastal Highway now, I need one.
But to George's point, I think, you know, that corridor, currently right now today, there's a 300-foot distance, correct? 1,200, in this example of separation of between the digitals, is quadruple that distance. Quadruple. So I agree with you. We don't want that corridor throughout this county, which is why we're really here talking about all this. But I think we're talking quadruple. Quadruple the distance. So I concur, and I think with something along the lines of having an additional distance required for digital billboards versus the static, I think we fit those requirements.
I wouldn't question want to buy a number. House around any of them. So, you know, you could say what you want, but they're obnoxious.
But some people will.
Well, you know, I might want the county to look the land values to be a little higher.
Would under this new scenario, guys, would the
are you suggesting, Joe, we want more people move in? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
Under this scenario, would any billboard that's currently static be permitted to change automatically to EMC?
Under the introduced ordinance?
Under the introduced ordinance, it's do you need a special use exception to go from static to?
Yeah, they'd be prohibited, so you wouldn't be able to convert. But under our current ordinance,
anything could be changed at any time.
Correct. Now,
right. But we're hoping to change that. Okay, and the change on what we're introducing here, if he put the distances down, anybody who would meet those distance would be a permitted use to change it. So if I had a billboard and I was like the first guy in, I measured real quick and I said, oh, mine's 1,200 feet or something. I can change that one and the other guys are out of luck. Is that the way it would work?
If you were to allow for conversions, right, then yeah. Because that's going to be your separation point. You're separating from EMCs to EMC.
Could we make on two-lane roads electronic signs would require a special use exception, and then the applicant would have to show that they're 1,200 feet from any other electronic sign. Now, if there's no other electronic signs around, either direction, it's 1,200 feet.
I would think you wouldn't need a special use exception for that. That would just be part of the permit application.
In other words, you're saying electronic signs on two-lane roads would be permitted. It's a permitted use if it meets.
If you can show that, yeah, you have
to meet the standard. Right.
Now, the one challenge you may have there is that I think a lot of the ones that are billboards that are there will probably need to go through a special use exception process anyhow, because typically the structural components of those, unless they're already a monopole that's recent, they're most likely not going to be structurally engineered to hold that extra weight. So it's most likely what will happen is somebody's going to apply for a new billboard, and that billboard would be an EMC rather than a conversion. It's possible there could be conversions.
I bet all EMCs on two-lane roads need a special use exception, and the standards would be, you know, separation of 1,200 feet. That would be one of the standards, but they have to have a variance to.
Yeah.
None of them would be. It's not permitted any unless you get a special use exception. Then you'd have to come in and justify. It could be that this one that somebody comes in first is a monopole right now and is static, but it's next to, I don't know, or it's way out of nonconformity or something. I don't know. I guess, can you take a nonconforming sign in this new version? How would we deal with that?
I think that goes back to his point.
A nonconforming sign and give them ability to do more things.
Yeah, and that goes to, you know, that's one of the questions that we have on the nonconforming signs is do you want to allow for that? And the introduced ordinance, I don't believe that it does. Mm-hmm. But the question is, you know, going forward is, I know in the planning and zoning one, for example, they allowed for, if you had multiple off-premise signs, you could combine them and make one electronic digital message center billboard.
And so if you live near it, then those are lit up all night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they
have to look at that all night.
They would be. A regular billboard would also have a light shining upon it as well.
It's not the same thing.
Well, the one thing that we're hoping with this is that those luminance standards that we talked about would make them less, you know, I know we've all seen them at night where you drive down, they're blinding. And those are ones that, and we've talked to sign folks, that they probably just didn't have their equipment working right.
They're not much better than the old neon signs.
Well, the only problem on a two-lane road, you do have the impact of residential property
I wouldn't live near these.
And so when they do blink at night, as she's alluding to, and they change message into your house, I don't care what your curtains are like or whatever, the light impact on you is changing, where a static billboard is constant. And maybe it's something that's not going to be as annoying as something that's changing all the time. So
maybe it would cause more.
I just think that we ought to maybe, if we just said that all they're not permitted on two-lane roads, and then allow for a special use exception for it based on a public hearing process.
And then who would make that decision?
Board of Adjustment.
Well, has that not been part of your concerns that Board of Adjustment has been providing these exceptions beyond what you would like?
But that's their job, and I'm hoping that in the future that, you know, the board either understands and gets a better grasp on it.
Can I ask one question?
But I still think we have to have a variance, and that maybe that's the way to do it.
I'd like to ask one question. How much did it cost to come to Board Adjustment?
It's $400 filing.
$400. So that's what, it's a big deal, isn't it? It's one way of getting somebody to come and pay $400 so you can get nonconforming signs. That's all we want to sit here and do, make nonconforming signs. Get $400.
You want to ruin the neighborhood?
That's what it boils down to, really.
Well, that's not enough money.
Ruin the neighborhood? We can't ruin the neighborhood. Joan, not the way people line up and get in this neighborhood.
Well,
there's cars lined up.
Sell houses.
I can't get on the highway for cars coming down the road.
Okay, let's stay on topic. It's getting late.
So the question is, how could we simplify?
We can agree on four lane roads or DelDOT, right? We agreed on DelDOT on the four lane roads.
Yep.
Okay. Why don't we just we'll punt.
35. We'll come back and visit that.
Okay. Half of 35.
Darn, we were doing so good.
We were. Well, half of 35. I
like that you said we. Who's we?
Collectively.
You and George.
All right. So we can try to keep moving forward.
Right.
The next one deals with how long messages are to be fixed, and we required in the introduced ordinance that it would be 10 seconds. That comes from the DLDOT standard. You may recall our current ordinance says 8 seconds. The alternate ordinance required that the messages only be fixed for 10 seconds if they were off-premise electronic message centers. That would not apply to on-premise. The planning and zoning, they accepted what was in the introduced ordinance, which says if you're an electronic message center, you got 10 seconds.
I'm with that.
1 second of change, 10 seconds for the
correct
message.
And to the next line of 37, I apologize, they're on separate pages, but I think that it kind of flows with this discussion. That one says that it's a 1 second transition period. And again, the alternate ordinance only applied that to off-premise electronic message centers. Planning and zoning accepted the introduced ordinance.
I think all that way it's easier to enforce if they're all doing the same thing.
What was do you have any idea what the thought was on the alternate for the on-premise?
Well, a couple things. There was, Mr. Sharp, jump in on this, but the alternate they looked at on-premises should have the ability to show more quote-unquote animation, you know, that you ought to be able to show. I think there was one example that Mr. Hutt gave, if you're a coffee shop, that you could have like a cup of coffee that's steaming, you know, and then I guess more transition between signs. I know meetings with staff, but let me go back to that. They said you could do that, you know, that coffee cup thing or, you know, some limited amount of animation, but you could not have live video. And there was a concern, at what point does something stop being animation and start being mm-hmm. video? And it was a question of enforceability. You know, somebody, one person's video is another person's animation and vice versa. You know, and I know at the commission level, I know one commissioner anyway stated that, you know, that it's important to be able to get the message out, you know, and that's what this is designed to do, you know, not necessarily have all the animation, you know, but it's up to council how they want to deal with that.
Well, I'm sure when I see a sign with a coffee pot or a cup of coffee steaming, I'm going to really want to go in there and see about what they got.
I'll just say this. If you use Coastal Highway between Rehoboth and Lewis, the signs are so, you know, congested in there with all these different electronic signs. I've been at intersections where there's almost like a video playing a movie of a, mm-hmm. you know, going on, and it can be very distracting. I think across the board, all of them should be the same. It makes enforcement, again, so much easier. And if there's a large outcry, because if they can't get their message out with that, the ability of this new technology, they don't... Yeah, I know it'd be nice to have all that animation and the things exploding and all that stuff, but I think we need to err on the side of maybe caution and not let it get too out of hand. And then later on, it's something we could come back and revisit if we have to, but I believe that we permit on-premise electronic signs with the same standards as off-premise.
And one thing I will note, the standards that we put in the introduced ordinance regarding those sections on the code, they came directly from the DLDOT regulations mm-hmm. as far as the length of time, the fact that the fixed message, you're allowed the 1 second transition during the fixed message display. So we tried to keep that consistent with what they had there. Mm-hmm. And again, that would apply to what they call a variable message sign. We call it an electronic message center.
But that was off premise, right?
They did it for all of them. It appears in the regulations. I don't know there was a distinction made in the definitions.
So how can we as a council, Five Points is one of the worst intersections in the state. So we're talking, how can we as a council protect that area from more confusion and, you know, more accidents? So, I mean, are we doing something here specifically for areas like that?
Well, I think we have. We've talked about increased separation distances, which mm-hmm. would mean fewer signs. And mm-hmm. When you just look at it, whether we want fewer signs, even the working group agreed with that, or the alternate ordinance agreed with that. You know, so there a lot of that takes care of.
But we're not going to eliminate what's already up there.
Yeah,
we are stuck with what we have at this point. We can't go backwards, so you can't unring the bell. So that congestion is going to remain even with the new ordinance. What we're trying to do is address on into the future, and electronics. We can retroactively affect electronic signs, right, Everett?
Pardon?
We can adopt an ordinance addressing the seconds and animation and all this stuff. And that can become effective immediately, but we're not going to be removing signs, but we can affect parts of the message.
Okay, well then it's, I know it's not electronic, but the new sign at Nassau, that's the 600-foot sign. I know we're not, it's not electronic, but I'm just, that's brand new. I mean, it just seems like they pop up everywhere and in that area. And so, I don't know. I'm just asking for, you know, support.
Okay, where are we, what number?
Well, we were at 36 and 37. From what I'm hearing, you all would like to keep with what you had in the introduced ordinance.
I think so.
I haven't heard anything to the contrary there.
Yes.
I don't know if Mr.
I'm just not so sure we...
And we have consensus on it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure we want to do that for on-premise signs. Because normally on-premise signs are not as big as off-premise.
But...
And you see a lot of those you rock well. A lot of change, I mean, different things, whether you want to call it animation or you say on the sign.
Well, and one of the things, if you look at 38 on there, there was, and this was again, this kind of goes into some of the technical components of this. It's more highlighted here, but it kind of goes into some of the things about animation and that the flashing, streaming, real-time video versus fading, dissolving, scrolling, which is something you're referring to, Mr. Vincent. And we got, I think Mr. Rogers had submitted some video that I hope you all got a chance to look at that showed kind of some of those scrolling things or a message that kind of fades out slowly. And typically what I was seeing was there about 2 to 4 seconds, the clips that I saw, you know, where a message would turn over. But again, you run into potential there for either abuse or enforcement problems. Where you have the example of that cup of coffee that's got the steam going there, is that animation if it's doing that all the time? Or, you know, when that message is scrolling, at what point does it stop? And I think we've all probably seen the red message that just keeps going and it never ends. And, you know, is that something that we want to keep? Now, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But that's the kind of thing that we're looking at. And the alternate ordinance distinguished between live action video flashing from fading, scrolling, dissolving, which I think are more analogous to probably what you saw in the stuff submitted by Mr. Rogers. And
I'm assuming you're saying that that's preferable, that the scrolling the softer
the council's ordinance that was introduced doesn't permit that.
Okay.
Correct.
And the alternate wanted some of that dissolving stuff. Planning and zoning's recommendation was to support the council's introduced ordinance, and that was. And then the staff accepts the P&Z recommendation, which was the introduced ordinance. So, at this point, Mike, if you want to go with the Hutt's version or the you got the staff, you got the P&Z, and the County Council's original.
Well, the one
saying
thing,
no, you know, saying to do it the other way.
I just know that as you ride through places, you certainly see on-premise signs that, whatever you want to call it, have animation, do.